The duty of recreation, that's a segment two. This is something that is very dear to my heart that I want to talk about, because we should be good time managers. We should be efficient in our work. We should be zealous. We should not be lazy. We should not, do things in a slothful way. We need to be very efficient in what we do. That's what we're called to do. But at the same time, there's another danger that if we are inspired missionary workers and we're on fire for God, which I pray that all of you will be, there is also a danger that you push yourself farther than your health bears, is able to handle. And it is true that we need to be always ready in that sense, if there's an emergency coming, and we might need to be minutemen in that sense, that we need to go out there and meet someone. We need to have a time when we give a Bible study or something, when we have to overwork. There needs to be such times, and we need to be open for that. We can't just have an 8-hour working day to say that, oh, I can't change anything. So now I'm off work, now you can't call me, or nothing can happen. That's not really what we're called to do. However, we should not overwork. And that's the other extreme, is overworking. Jesus and his disciples, they worked with the most important work they could ever have. But Jesus, at times, said these words that we find in Mark chapter 6. It's a command, even. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. And if someone can read that.
And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a desert place in the boat by themselves.
All right. So what did Jesus command them? Come apart. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. He didn't say rest all the time, right? But he said rest a while. And this is important. We're called to active labor. We're called to a zeal that's never flinching. That kind of missionary work, that's what we're called to do. But we also need to take time to rest a while. It is a command of Jesus to do it. And it is very important. In Matthew 9, we read 37 through 38. Someone read that.
Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
I made this point yesterday also. Jesus did not say the harvest is great and the laborers are few, therefore work twice as hard. Right? He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. Pray for more laborers. And that's what we're called to do. We do all that we can, or that we reasonably can. And then we need to trust to God, and we need to pray that he will send other workers that can take over. Overwork is not a virtue. In today's society, overwork is a virtue. Most of the time, people think of it as a virtue, and they think that, wow, that person, he works 80 hours a week, and he's like, wow, look at that amazing person. You know, don't we do that? Don't we think that? And if I say that, oh, yeah, you know, I was working really hard all day yesterday, and of course, it is good to have sympathy with those that work hard and that feel that they can't do anything. But it is not, according to the Bible, a virtue that we should strive for. It is one thing if the circumstances really require it, that there is something that we need to do, and you know, people are, some people are lazy, and then other people need to take over and do that work. We need to have sympathy for those people that are working beyond their strengths because of other people's deficient work. However, it's not a virtue to strive for that. Let me try to overwork so that I can I can tell people, oh, I'm really busy, you know. Overwork is bad, she says. Overwork is hurtful. You work far beyond your strength, she wrote. There is no virtue in this, for God does not require it. So there is no virtue in it. So when we confess that we have overworked for our whole year, it is rather a confession of sin than a boastful claim. Understand? Now, she says in another place that overwork is bad, but it is not, it's in Testimonies 3, she says it's not as bad as indolence. So you understand that there is a difference. It's worse not to do any work than to overwork. But the best thing is to do a good amount of work. In Testimonies 1, page 618, she says, those who eat and work intemperately and irrationally, talk and act irrationally. An intemperate man cannot be a patient man. Is patience a virtue? Yeah, it is. So if we are intemperate, she even says, those who eat and work intemperately, can we be patient then? It is actually a fact. It is very hard to be patient if you are overworked. You get irritated, and these small things that pop up, you say things that you regret later on. Intemperance in working causes impatience in our attitude. So it is not a virtue. It's not developing our character. It's not earning us extra point in heaven to overwork. What is overwork? Well, Testimonies 2, page 116. It is the long, protracted effort after laboring to the point of weariness, which wears and breaks. I saw that it was this extra labor, when the system was exhausted, that consumed the life of dear brother Sperry and brought him prematurely to the grave. If we don't take care of our health and we overwork, it is going to kill us before, or prematurely. And this is a serious thing. So she says, the long protracted effort after laboring to the point of weariness. It's not wrong to labor to the point of weariness and we feel like, oh, I've worked so hard. But it's when we feel that way and we don't get rest and we just continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it, that's when it breaks. And this is what we need to watch for. Yes, we can work hard. We can work just as hard as we possibly can if we get an adequate rest in between. It is not work, she says, but overwork without periods of rest that breaks people down, endangering the life forces. Those who overwork soon reach the place where they work in a hopeless way. Gospel Workers, page 244. Ellen White speaks about recreation as a duty.
Recreation doesn't mean going to Disneyland or watching a movie. It's not recreation.
Recreation is something that recreates you, that refreshes you, that makes you, that gives you the rest that you need in order to come back and work it with more energy. Did you have a point about that? Yeah. Did you have another point about that? No? Okay.
I heard that here we studied it.
Really?
Quite in depth.
Okay.
What is and what is not. And it talks, everyone has a lot to talk about.
Yeah, this is by no means an exhaustive list. But what I want to drill into our minds today is just this idea that, yeah, we need to have periods of rest. He says the servants of Christ are not to treat their health indifferently. Let no one labor. She says that. Let no one labor to the point of exhaustion, thereby disqualifying himself for future effort. Do not try to crown in to one day the work of two. Okay? So what's that? Well, if we work 8 hours in a day, don't work 16 hours. Don't work, try to put in all the work that needs to be done in one day, but we put it into, or that needs to be done in 2 days, but we put that into one day. Jesus said in Matthew 5, he says, Matthew 5 and verse 6, that's what it is. And verse 34, he says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, so there's a trouble for each day, but let's not bring the tomorrow's trouble into today's. I mean, I think this principle can also apply to work, that we don't bring the work of 2 days into one. At the end of those who work carefully and wisely, at the end, those who work carefully and wisely will be found to have accomplished as much as those who expend their physical and mental strength, that they have no deposit from which to draw in time of need. So this is another point, that we need to charge our batteries so that we can have some extra energy when it is actually needed. Testimonies 1, page 514. I was shown that Sabbath keepers, as a people, labor too hard without allowing themselves change or periods of rest. Recreation is needful to those who are engaged in physical labor, and still more essential for those whose labor is principally mental. Okay, so people that at the office, they need more recreation. They need more rest than people who work physically even. And she says, it is not essential. This is, I praise God for this sentence. It is not essential to our salvation, nor for the glory of God, to keep the mind laboring constantly and excessively, even upon religious themes. Now, as Bible workers and as missionary workers, we love God. We want to spend time, of course, doing His work. But it is not essential for our salvation to labor constantly, even when it comes to religious themes, doing Bible work. There is a limit to how much a person is able to do at that point as well.
The interesting thing is that she does not mention what the limit is. Because you need to find it. I mean, there are some points where she says that this brother should get out of the office, or otherwise I will come and, like...
otherwise his friends should kidnap him.
Fire him.
Yeah.
Like the conference should even fire him if he does not go and take rest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But she does not mention, I mean, she mentions where people are getting to the point of exhaustion, but she does not talk to where is the actual limit, because each one should find it with God. Because what I found is that when you look at these kinds of statements, Satan comes to you and is like, oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to that Bible study because that's too much for you. And actually, that's when God will call us to go. So we have to always be prayerful and find out and see what things actually exhaust our energy and remove those things as much as possible, and also take time when we can.
Right.
But it is to be careful not to let Satan use these to hinder God's work also. So
true.
There's a very fine...
I mean, that's the thing. It is, and that's why we talked about time management and how to be efficient in the first time. That's the one side of it, to not be lazy, to not be like neglecting our duties. But still, on the other side of the coin is this. So there is a balance here, absolutely. And I think when we focus on what's really important, then Bible studies will not, we'll never cancel Bible studies. If we get a Bible study, we'll be there, even if it costs us. I mean, it's very rarely, in my whole life when I worked as a Bible worker, it's very rarely that I have canceled a Bible study. I do anything I can to not cancel a Bible study, because that's my priority number one as a Bible worker, to study the Bible with people. And of course, if I'm now that I went here for 1 week, I had to reschedule them so that that they could come before and after I came here. But it's very hard for me to do, and I think it's good for us to do that. However, she says that sometimes people get into extreme ideas, and I think we'll actually talk about this later on. But there is a tendency in each of us to go to an extreme, either to one extreme or to the other extreme. And that's why it's so important what you said, that we need to be prayerful and pray to God, please show me what is the amount that you ask me to do.
And I found that Satan leads us to that point too, of overworking ourselves, because he knows that we will fall down and won't be able to do it.
Mm.
And that's why we have to test the spirits as it would be. And I found myself going to exhaustion so many times.
Mm.
And then you can't do God's word. You can't get Bible studies, you can't preach when you're overexhausted.
Right.
And you need to take time to rest. You need time to do physical exercise, especially as mental workers.
Yes.
Physical
exercise, time for the family. There's so many families that have been sacrificed. I mean, you have this phenomenon of preacher's kids, don't you? PKs. Pastors are just consumed and they don't have time to train their children and take, I mean, these kinds of things. So it's really important to have good priorities. Here's another statement from Testimonies 1, page 517. I saw that my husband's, that was one person that labored too hard, was her husband. I saw that my husband's constant and excessive labor was exhausting his fund of strength, which God would have him preserve, that if he continued to overtask his physical and mental energies as he had been doing, he would be using up his future resources of strength and exhausting the capital and would break down prematurely, and the cause of God would be deprived of his labor. So we have some kind of extra energy inside of us that God has given, but if we use that up as well, that's when things will break. And I can speak of this. To be honest with you, we have in the work that me and my wife have been doing, we have done this mistake, and we have been overexhausted, and this is very damaging to the whole work that God is wanting us to do. So that's why I'm very ardent about this also, because I know. We have experienced it ourselves. She says this. Yeah.
One more thought, sorry, is when we actually do Bible studies and so forth. Yesterday we went through it. That sometimes this will exhaust your whole energy. Because one Bible study is just so taxing.
Mm.
But many times I had Morris Bascom. I don't know if you know him. He works in Korea a lot as a missionary and a pastor. He usually said when you have an evangelistic series or things like that, just go and take time off.
Mm.
When you have things that are very taxing on your nervous system and your mind and so forth, take time off.
And what happens is also that you can't think, you can't develop as a person, you don't have any inspiration to write any sermons or to write any Bible studies or anything like this, because you don't have time to study for yourself even. You just sit there and you do it mechanically, just to give Bible studies, say the same thing that you've always said. you're not developing as a person, you don't take time for the spiritual aspects. Exactly.
Less quality, let's say.
Exactly.
Also, the mind is not capable anymore to. And the thing is, you'd mentioned that Satan is trying to keep you all the time busy. It also falls your protection walls normally. If you're too tired, you'll get more easily tempted. More easily to.
Yeah.
Do a mistake or lose control and say something which you didn't want to say. Or
mm-hmm. What did you say?
James
Ford
working.
Yeah.
Physically, still.
Yeah.
You were physically also.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a similar
situation. Well, the thing is actually, Ellen White speaks about James White, that he died too early. Mm-hmm. He was not supposed to die when he died. And it was because of overwork. He fell prostrate several times and he was supposed to die, but the God raised him up miraculously. But it was because of neglect of other people.
That's what she says in
It's Testimonies 3, chapter 9. That's a whole chapter where she writes about it. She says that the neglect of other people made James White had to work like three people, do the work of three people. And it broke. He broke down. He almost got mad. You know, his whole nervous system just broke down. And she says that few people would have survived such a thing. But he had a very strong constitution, and God's prayers. They prayed for him a lot. So he continued to work for some time still after that.
That's amazing. I don't know if anyone here has read The Life of James White, but until 20 years old, he was like, wasn't able to read and things like that. But he was
cross-eyed, wasn't he?
Yeah, cross-eyed, yeah. And different problems.
Hmm.
And he worked physically, and he was, yeah, just when you look at his history and then what God used him for, it's amazing.
Yeah. It is. Evangelism, page 660. If a minister, during his leisure time, engages in labor in his orchard or garden, shall he deduct that time from his salary? What would you say? She says, certainly not, any more than he should put in his time when he is called to work over hours in ministerial labor. Some ministers spend many hours in apparent ease, and it is right that they should rest when they can, for the system could not endure the heavy strain were there no time for letting up. There are hours in the day that call for severe taxation, for which the minister receives no extra salary, and if he chooses to chop wood several hours a day or work in his garden, it is as much his privilege to do this as to preach. A minister cannot always be preaching and visiting, for this is exhaustive work. So, is it part of the pastor's job description to also chop wood? Well, apparently it is. It is his privilege to do so. So you can add that to the list that we talked about yesterday. Testimonies 3, page 91. When we return from Kansas in the autumn of 1870, both of us should have had a period of rest. Weeks of freedom from care were necessary to bring up our exhausted energies. Weeks, she says. No, not just 2 days. She says weeks. So she stresses many points. She stresses the point of having free days. I think I didn't have this quote here, but let me look at it in... Yeah, it's on page 4, I think, the last page, Testimonies 1, page 515. It says that they should have a change frequently, should often, she says, devote a day wholly to recreation with their families, who are almost entirely deprived of their society. So often a whole day of recreation, and believe me, she wasn't only speaking about the Sabbath. Especially as ministers, as Bible workers, or as pastors, or whatever we are, Sabbath is the hardest day. And that's what it was in the Bible. The priests were working on the Sabbath, weren't they? So your free day is not the Sabbath. Your free day is Sunday, or some other day. So you need a free day. And when I say a free day, that doesn't mean 24 hours, that means 36 hours. Understand? Yeah, because
I think also one point is for Romania especially, mm-hmm. Sunday is not a good day to take off.
Really?
Because on that day you find people at home. During the week you can't find them at home.
Mm. Yeah.
So in Romania,
if you want to do that,
a day during the week off.
Right.
And Sunday and Saturday are the busiest days. Sunday, for example. I find people because they're living in the country, so they go to work, come home, and work at mm-hmm. home in the garden or with the cows or whatever animals they have.
Right.
And Sunday, they're off. You find them outside, you find them talking, you find them willing to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday is the busiest day that I have as a missionary in Romania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that, I mean.
Even here, people are free on Sunday more than
the yeah. other day. It's true. So, I mean, you can see what works best. For you and with the place where you live. I know from me, I work very far away, and it's only on those certain days that during the working days, that's when people go into the town, and that's when I can meet them because I go to town at that point of time. So for me, Sundays works very good. If it doesn't work good, take Monday, take some other day off. Preferably, I mean, you can take 2 days off a week. That's very legitimate. Normal people do that. They work 5 days a week and they have weekend. So that is our privilege in one way to do also. At least in Finland where I work, they require us to do that. I have not been able to do that though, but that's beside the point. Okay. So what we saw here... That's the free time during the week. So, you know, the Sabbath commandment, it's equally important to us as missionary workers also. So we need to have our weekly rest, but then also she speaks of vacation, if you would. Weeks of freedom from care. And to bring up our exhausted energies. I was reading this in Jane Loughborough's Miracles of My Life. I found it quite interesting. He's sharing his story. And he writes this: after Elder White's stroke, this was when he broke down, he thought it best, this doctor thought it best for the elder to go to Danceville for treatment. And looking over my case, decided that I too needed water treatment and rest. So on September 14, this was in 1865, the Whites and I, accompanied by Dr. Lay, started for the home on the hillside at Danville, where we stayed until December 7. Now notice that. From September 14 to December 7, how long is that? No, it's more. It's almost 3 months. Yeah. Almost 3 months. And it says, after 6 weeks, I recovered from the brain congestion that he had, but I remained with the Whites, taking them and others out for rides with a borrowed team carriage. So, Jane Loughborough was staying there also for almost 3 months. So, when we think about the pioneers, we read their books, we see that, oh, they were just like constantly 24/7 laboring. No, they were not. Sometimes they needed periods of rest. In the beginning, you can read in her own testimony that sometimes Ellen White and James White, they spent the whole winter in their own home, you know, or in the summer they planted their garden and took care of these kinds of things. So it wasn't like they were traveling all the time, preaching constantly. They were always doing something useful, but at times they were also taking periods for rest. So, my challenge to you is to have adequate rest. First, if you think about the daily rest in the sense of sleeping, we need to sleep 8 hours, have 8 hours of rest per day is to have optimal brain capacity. And then we need a weekly rest, a minimum of one carefree day. And then we have annual rest, weeks or even months of freedom from care. And spend the time of rest in a way that will refresh you physically, mentally, and spiritually. Not do things on your free time that will require you to have another vacation to recover from your vacation, you know? That's not going to be helpful. The purpose of rest is to rejuvenate so that we can do the work that we're called to do. So, is it your desire to be efficient time managers and also to take adequate rest? Let's pray that God will help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your care for us and that we can take care of our health and our time management according to as you have planned. I pray that you will help us to not overwork and not to underwork either, but to have that amount of work that you put on us for each day, and help us to be joyful in what we do so that we can reflect the joy that you want to give us to others. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.